In his second letter to Timothy, the Apostle Paul writes these words, "I charge you in the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who is to judge the living and the dead, and by his appearing and by his kingdom, preach the word. Be urgent, in season and out of season. Convince, rebuke, and exhort. Be unfailing in patience and in teaching." This is In Season and Out of Season, a Bible teaching ministry with Father Tom DiLorenzo.
Good day, it's Father Tom. I'm glad to be with you today. We have exciting scriptures today, exciting scriptures. We are starting with the 36th verse of chapter 15 of the Acts of the Apostles. After some days, Paul said to Barnabas, "Come, let us return and visit the believers in every city where we proclaim the word of the Lord and see how they are doing." Paul wants to make sure that the gospel that he preached is taking root in the people. Let's look at Mark 4. Again, he began to teach beside the sea. Such a very large crowd gathered around him that he got into the boat and sat there while the whole crowd was beside the sea on the land. He began to teach them. Why? What does he teach? In parables. And his teaching was like this. Listen, a sower went out to sow his seed. That's what Paul and Barnabas did. And as he sowed, some seed fell on the path, and the birds came and ate it up. In other words, the word of God was not triumphant in these people. Other seed fell on rocky ground where it did not have much soil, and it sprang up quickly since it had no depth of soil. And when the sun rose, it was scorched, and since it had no root, it withered away. Other seed fell among the thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked it and yielded no grain. Other seed fell on good soil and brought forth grain, growing up and increasing and yielding 30, 60, and 100-fold. And he said, "Let everyone who has ears listen." So we see St. Paul knows that every time he preaches the word of God, it's not going to land on good soil. But he's going to go there and make sure that the disciples are growing in the Lord. I'm telling you, every time I speak the word of God, it doesn't always fall on good soil. You must want to hear the word of God. You must want to receive the word of God. You must be attentive to the word of God. Not only you, but me too. Oh yes, me too. How I need to be attentive to the word of God. How I need to hear the word of God. How I need to allow God to put the seed in good soil so that it grows. Barnabas wanted to take with them, that's with Paul, John called Mark, but Paul decided not to take Mark with them because he had deserted them in Pamphylia and had not accompanied them in the work. You remember Mark, John Mark left and did not follow Paul. And Paul says, "No, I'm not taking John Mark with me because he deserted us." The disagreement between Paul and Barnabas became so sharp that they parted company. Isn't that sad? Even in the early church, there was division. Barnabas took John Mark with him and sailed away to Cyprus, but Paul chose Silas and set out, the believers commending him to the grace of the Lord. He went through Syria and Cilicia, strengthening the churches, that the seed fell on good ground. Paul wants them to know that they are God's chosen people, even though they are not Jewish. Paul wants them to know that this is the power of God in the Word that's working in them. How we need to have the Word of God work within us. We as Catholics especially, because we have not paid attention to the Word of God in many instances, we paid attention to the Eucharist, and that's wonderful. But we also need the Word of God, the Word of God that brings us to the Eucharist, the Word of God that opens the Scripture to us that we might be saved, the Word of God that opens the Scripture to us that we might grow in the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. Paul went also to Derbe and to Lystra, and there was a disciple named Timothy, the son of a Jewish woman who was a believer, but his father was a Greek. He was well spoken of by the believers in Lystra and Iconium. Paul wanted Timothy to accompany him, and he took him and had him circumcised because of the Jews who were in those places, I guess because his mother was Jewish. For they all knew that the father was Greek. And they went from town to town and delivered to them for observance the decisions that had been reached by the apostles and the elders in Jerusalem. In other words, that they weren't to eat meat offered to idols, that they weren't to drink blood, that they weren't to fornicate. But they would be received as children of God as they heard the gospel and surrendered to the Lord. So the churches were strengthened in the faith and increased in numbers daily. That's wonderful. How we need to have the church be strengthened in faith and increase numbers. But we want depth in the people that come into the Lord. We just don't want baby Christians. We all start off as baby Christians. But we need to be in the Word of God in order to grow. And if we don't grow, we wither away. They went through the region of Phrygia and Galatia, and having been forbidden by the Holy Spirit to speak the word in Asia, the Holy Spirit spoke through a prophet not to go to Asia. When they had some opposite Mysia, they attempted to go to Bithynia, but the Spirit of Jesus did not allow them. Again, a prophetic word said, don't go there. So passing by Mysia, they went down to Troas. During the night, Paul had a vision. Remember what the scripture says, that we would have visions. And there stood a man of Macedonia pleading with Paul, saying, come over to Macedonia and help us. That's the Philippians. And when he had seen the vision, he immediately tried to cross over to Macedonia, being convinced that God had called them to proclaim the gospel, the good news to them. We set sail from Troas and took a straight course to Samothrace, and the following day to Neapolis, and from there to Philippi, that's where the Macedonian men called them, which is a leading city in the district of Macedonia and a Roman colony. We remained in this city for some days. On the Sabbath day, we went outside the gate by the river where we supposed there was a place of prayer. Oh yes, by the river, a place of prayer, a quiet place to seek the face of the Lord. Have you sought the face of the Lord today? Do you need to seek the face of the Lord today? Do you need to open the scriptures today? Let me tell you, we all need that. We all need that. Billy Graham said if he had to live it over again, what he would have done was to pray more. Have you been praying? Have you sought the Lord? Let's continue. As we sat down and spoke to the women who had gathered there, a certain woman named Lydia, a worshiper of God, but she was not a Christian, was listening to us, and she was from the city of Thyatira, the dealer in purple cloth. And the Lord opened her heart to listen eagerly to what was said by Paul, seed falls on good ground. When she and her household were baptized, she urged us, saying, if you judged me to be faithful to the Lord Jesus, come and stay at my home. And she prevailed upon us. Not many people prevailed upon Paul, but Lydia did. if you believe that I have given my life to Jesus and have given my heart to Jesus and have an experience with Jesus, then come and stay with us. Why? Because she wants to know more. She wants to know more. Oh, I know when new Christians are touched by the Holy Spirit, they're hungry. But we all need to be hungry. We need to pray to be hungry and thirsty for the Word of God. We need to pray that God, who opened our hearts to Jesus Christ in the Spirit, would grant us favor through the power of the Word of God. Oh, it's so important. She prevailed upon us. So Paul stayed with Lydia and was going to preach to Lydia and the house about Jesus more than just conversion. She wanted to grow in the Lord. Do you want to grow in the Lord? Then get into the Scriptures. Get into prayer. Find people that love Jesus more than you. One day, as we were going to the place of prayer, we met a slave girl who had a spirit of divination. That means she was a person who read people's thoughts. You know, she was an occultist and brought her owners a great deal of money for her fortune telling. So she did fortune telling and she brought the ones who owned her lots of money. We're going to see something happening. While she followed Paul and us, she would cry out, "These men are slaves of the Most High God who proclaim to you a way to salvation." She's wrong. It is the way to salvation, not a way. The way. Oprah says that you don't need Jesus for salvation. Well, Oprah is wrong. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. She kept doing this for many days, saying that these men are slaves of the Most High God. But Paul, very much annoyed, turned and said to the spirit, that's the evil spirit that's in her, "I order you in the name of Jesus Christ to come out of her." And it came out that very hour. Now, when her owners saw that their hope of making money was gone, they seized Paul and Silas and dragged them into the marketplace before the authorities. Now, they're going to be persecuted. When they had brought them before the magistrates, they said, "These men are disturbing our city." They rebuked the evil spirit in the woman that did fortune-telling. And they were upset because they're not making money. "These men are disturbing our city. They are Jews and advocating customs that are not lawful for us as Romans to adopt and observe. The crowd joined in attacking them, and the magistrates had them stripped of their clothing and ordered them to be beaten with rods. You don't beat Paul with rods. You know why? He's a Roman citizen. Oh, yes. Oh, yes. Paul is going to bring his case to Caesar. He wants to preach to Caesar about Jesus Christ because he was beaten with rods, and you don't beat a Roman citizen with rods. After they had given them a severe flogging, the jailer put them securely. Following these instructions, he put them in the innermost cell and fastened their feet in the stocks. About midnight, you would think that they'd be crying and were weeping and moaning. Midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God, and the prisoners were listening. That's a persecution that brings worship. Because they saw that they were worthy to suffer for Jesus Christ. Now, it's not sickness, it's physical suffering. Suddenly, there was an earthquake so violent that the foundations of the prison were shaken, and immediately all the doors were opened. It sounded like the same thing that happened to Peter in the 11th and 12th chapter of Acts. And all the doors were opened, and everyone's chains were unfastened. When the jailer woke up and saw the prison doors were open, he drew a sword about to kill himself, since he supposed that the prisoners had escaped. But Paul shouted in a loud voice, "Do not harm yourself, for we are all here." They didn't leave. Paul has an inkling that this guy that guards the prison is going to accept the Lord Jesus Christ. The jailer called for lights, and rushing in, he fell down trembling before Paul and Silas. Then he brought them outside and said, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" The Holy Spirit's on him. He's asking the same question as the people on Pentecost, Parthians, Medes, Elamites, Mesopotamians. "What must I do to be saved?" They answered, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and you will be saved, you and your household." Do you pray for your household, that each one of them would come to know Jesus Christ? Do you pray for your household that they would come to know the power of God? Do you pray for your household that they would receive the baptism of the Spirit? We need to pray for our household. They spoke the word of the Lord to him and all who were in his house. At the same hour of the night, he took them and washed their wounds. Then he and the entire family were baptized. Christians. They were baptized. Christians. Without delay, he brought them up into the house and set food before them. He and his entire household rejoiced that they had become believers in God. Are you a believer in God? Has Jesus become Lord of your life? Have you surrendered your life to Jesus? He's the sure thing, you know. Jesus is wonderful. He loves you. He gave his life for you. He rose from the dead for you. Have you given your life to him? You see, how do you do that? Well, you do it by doing it. It's so simple. You do it by giving him your life. "I give you my life, Jesus. I do not want to live for myself anymore. I want to follow you. I want to live in you. I need your Holy Spirit." When morning came, the magistrate sent the police saying, "Let those men go." Well, you know what? They're in jail and the doors are open. And the jailer reported the message to Paul saying, "The magistrate sent word to let you go. Therefore, come out now and go in peace." But Paul replied that they had beaten us in public, uncondemned men who are Roman citizens. Ah, you don't beat a Roman citizen. Paul will take his experience of being beaten to Caesar because he wants to preach to Caesar that Caesar would come to believe in Jesus. And they have thrown us into prison, and now they're going to discharge us in secret. Certainly not. Let them come and take us out themselves. The police reported these words to the magistrates, and they were afraid when they heard that they were Roman citizens. So they came and apologized to them, and they took them out and asked them to leave the city. After leaving the prison, they went to Lydia's house. Remember Lydia by the river, who believed in the Lord Jesus? And she said, "If you really believe that I've accepted Jesus, come to my house." And she prevailed upon Paul. They went to Lydia's home, and when they had seen and encouraged the brothers and sisters, they departed. Oh, yes, encouragement. How we need to be Barnabases. Barnabas means son of encouragement. How we need to encourage people. You might say, "But I'm just a baby Christian." Well, you know what? We all started as baby Christians. "But I don't believe that God loves me the way he loves you." Well, you know what? It's true anyway. It's true anyway. Just believe it, that God loves you. That God so loved the world and you that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in the Son might not perish but have eternal life. Do you believe in Jesus? Oh, yes. Paul goes to Lydia's house and encourages the brothers and sisters, and then they depart. Chapter 17. After Paul and Silas had passed through Amphipolis and Apollonia, they came to Thessalonica. there was a synagogue of Jews, and Paul went in as was his custom. Remember, salvation is to the Jew first and then to the Gentile. So Paul's going in Thessalonica into a synagogue. What do you think he's going to do? Going to preach from Isaiah 53, like a lamb led to the slaughterhouse, like a sheep before his shearers, he opened not his mouth. By his stripes we were healed. And on the three Sabbath days, argued with them from the scriptures, Isaiah 53, explaining and proving that it was necessary for the Messiah to suffer and to rise from the dead. Chapter 22 of Psalms also. This is the Messiah, Jesus, whom I am proclaiming to you. Some of them were persuaded and joined Paul and Silas, and did many of the devout Greeks, and not a few of the leading women. But the Jews became jealous with the help of some ruffians in the marketplaces. They formed a mob and set the city in an uproar. They did the same thing for Jesus. Jesus says, they did these things to me, they're going to do these things to you. Jealousy. Don't be jealous. You know, people say, you know, I'm jealous of somebody. You have no idea the cross that they carry. You have no idea what they go through. Don't be jealous. That's an awful thing. You see, but I can't help it. I want more. Yeah, I want more of Jesus. I need more of Jesus. While they were searching for Paul and Silas to bring them out into the assembly, they attacked Jason's house. When they could not find them, they dragged Jason and some of the believers before the city authorities, shouting, "These people who have been turning the world upside down, oh, would that we turn the world upside down with the power of God, with the power of the gospel, with Jesus Christ himself. Oh, the world needs to be turned upside down." We are in the area when Isaiah says they will call good evil and evil good. Yes, we have gay marriage now. No such thing. We also have abortion on demand. We kill our children. We need to turn the world upside down for Jesus Christ and for the Holy Spirit. These people who have been turning the world upside down have come here also, and Jason has entertained them as guests. They are all acting contrary to the decrees of the emperor. Why? Because they are saying that Jesus Christ is king, saying that there is another king named Jesus. The people and the city officials were disturbed when they heard this, and after they had taken bail from Jason and the others, they let them go. Remember, after Jesus raised Lazarus, the Jews said, "We've got to destroy Jesus because people are calling him a king. And then they'll close our temple." Well, you know what? The temple was closed, and Jesus Christ is king, crucified and raised from the dead. Why was the temple closed in the year 70? Because they failed to realize the visitation of God in his holy Son, Jesus Christ. That very night, the believers sent Paul and Silas off to Berea, and when they arrived, they went to the Jewish synagogue. These Jews were more receptive than those in Thessalonica, for they welcomed the message very eagerly and examined the scriptures every day to see whether these things were so. Many of them therefore believed, including not a few Greek women. It's always the women that believe, and men of high standing. But when the Jews of Thessalonica learned that the word of God had been proclaimed by Paul in Berea as well, they came too to stir up the crowds and incite the crowds. Then the believers immediately sent Paul away to the coast, but Silas and Timothy remained behind. Those who are conducted, Paul brought him as far as Athens, and after receiving instruction to have Silas and Timothy join him as soon as possible, they left him. My Lord, there's a lot of content that we spoke today a lot of content. What kind of content? That it's all about Jesus. It's all about Jesus. Have you given your heart to Jesus? Just pray with me. Lord Jesus, I am a sinner. Save me by your grace. I repent of my sin. Be my Lord and my Savior. Amen. You know, these broadcasts cost a lot of money for us to speak the Word of God. Not too many Catholic priests are on WEZE and WROL. But I need to hear from people so that we can pay our bills. It's very simple. You go to www.inseason.net, and from there you go to PayPal and leave a donation. I'm very grateful. I'm very grateful. Or you write Father Tom, Post Office Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. That's Father Tom, Post Office Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. And may the Lord bless you in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. God bless you.
Behold, I stand at the door and knock.
This has been In Season and Out of Season with Father Tom DiLorenzo. A tape of this week's series of messages is available to you with a donation when you write to this new address, Father Tom DiLorenzo, P.O. Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. Please make a note of it. And remember that this ministry is supported only by the donations of listeners, so please help as the Lord leads you. That new address again is Father Tom DiLorenzo, P.O. Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. And be sure to listen again next time for In Season and Out of Season.